Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a little bit snarky about all things books. This is a brand new podcast, so if you like it, I'd really love your support. Please spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, and rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get rolling. Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm so excited this week because I know that many of y'all are Book of the Month members, as am I, and we're always curious about how things work over there. So I'm thrilled that this week's guest is Siobhan Jones, who is the editorial director of Book of the Month. Welcome, Siobhan.
Hi, thank you so much.
So glad to have you. And before we get moving, I should tell everyone up front that I am an affiliate for Book of the Month. I do get a small commission if you all purchase a Book of the Month subscription through my links, but I also do pay for my own monthly subscription, and I love the service. And you have a dream job for us bookworms. Let's just face it.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that entails day to day?
Yeah. So sometimes it feels like a dream job and sometimes it feels very hard. I went to a wedding last weekend and everyone's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm editorial director at Book of the Month. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, it's a book subscription service. I pick the books. And people are like, okay, got it. And that is a dream job.
Yes.
I think most of what my job entails is not reading or picking books. A lot of it is around, you know, working with other members of the team on like business objectives, usually tied to promoting the books, you know, helping more people find out about Book of the Month. As an example, like a lot of what I'm focused on right now is Book of the Month recently launched a Book of the Month YA subscription.
Yes.
So I've been really involved with not just the books, but the marketing, the Instagram strategy, all of that stuff. So, I mean, yes, it is a fantastic job. I'm very lucky.
So you're a reader and a marketer.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. All right. I put out to my listeners that you were coming on. And so I asked them, you know, what they really wanted to know from you. And a lot of the questions were around, how do you all pick the books? So how do potential picks initially get on your radar? Do you accept pitches or do you find them yourself? How does that happen?
It's all of it. So a lot of publishers pitch us, you know, or just send us books. And sometimes they send us boxes of books. And sometimes they send like other stuff with that, like more marketing materials and all that. And then some don't do that as frequently. And in order to make sure we catch everything, we just go through a variety of sources to see what's coming up in any given month. So like right now we're working on October.
So you're a couple months out from picking the books.
We're a couple months out. Yeah.
Okay.
And we kind of look at 2 months at the same time. So like we're looking at September books and deciding on what those are going to be this week and all this month. But we're also looking at October because Book of the Month likes to feature early releases.
Yes.
From time to time, like a publisher will let us do a book like a month in advance before the pub date. And so that's really cool for us. But that means that we're actually looking at 2 months. So as an example, like for October, we make a huge list of like every book coming out, you know, some stuff like we don't do self-help, for example, so we don't really put self-help books on there. But every other book that is primarily fiction and some nonfiction will make a huge list. And then my colleague and I, there's two of us on the editorial team, we'll just go through it. And then we kind of have like this big, I guess, like it's like a PowerPoint, and we'll put the actual cover images on like the October sheet, for example, and we'll just fill it up, you know. And some months there's like 50 books that look like they could work for the club, and some months there's like 100, and then we just start reading. We don't use any like algorithms. We don't just guess. We're not just like, oh, this author's huge, let's just do the book. It's a lot of work and it's a labor of love, actually.
Do you personally read each of the 5 picks every month?
Yeah, and I don't read every book that we consider for Book of the Month because Brianna, my colleague, helps, you know, she does a lot of the work there. But I try and read every single Book of the Month selection because otherwise it's weird. I'm like, meet that author or something. Occasionally there'll be one and I just don't have time.
Yeah, you're only human.
I'm only human. But for the most part, I try and get to all of them. Yeah.
Awesome. And you mentioned a few minutes ago that you look at this big list and you determine if something would work for Book of the Month. What are you looking for to determine whether a book, quote unquote, would work?
Yeah, that's like a great question. There's some stuff that doesn't work in terms of, what's an example of like a big category? There are certain types of books we don't do a ton of. So
what are those?
Like a really down market romance, like, you know, the kind of romance with the Fabio cover and like it's in Scotland.
Yep. I can picture it.
Yep. Nothing against those books. It's just not what our audience wants.
Sure.
And so we've kind of figured that out. So we kind of weed those out entirely. So there's big ideas about what isn't going to work in the club. And then there's like smaller things. Like our members don't really love unlikable narrators. They just don't.
Oh, interesting.
I get it. They want someone they can root for. And, you know, they want to read about a journey that is like real and there's real obstacles to overcome. So if the blurbs for the book are literally like, this main character is an asshole, but it's kind of a fun read, we're kind of like, meh.
Not for us.
Yeah. It's hard to consider those kinds of things. But yeah, we try and cast a wide net because we don't want to miss like
the big thing.
Yes.
And how do you find out that kind of stuff about your readers? Like, that's not a genre per se. It's more like a characteristic of a book that people don't like a dislikable narrator. How do you find that out about all of us?
We'll see it like in ratings. So members can review their books online and they can write like a little blurb. Yeah. And so there's some things like that that we just know, like we have this idea in the office of like a non-thrilling thriller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so like if there's a thriller and it's really cerebral, not a lot happens and maybe like the murder isn't even solved. Like I'm thinking like a police procedural that is mainly about the main character, the detective, and like the murder and the whodunit piece of it is second.
Character-driven thriller.
Yeah. So those.
I actually like those.
I know. And I do too. But when enough doesn't happen, our members are like, that was boring.
Well, and people expect pace from a thriller.
Totally. And they want that option every month. So,
right.
You know, when we don't have it, but we have this thing they maybe didn't want to read, it's not good.
Gotcha. So we had on the podcast last, I guess, 2 weeks ago, a former Book of the Month judge, Grace Atwood from Bad on Paper podcast.
Oh, yeah. I love Grace.
Yeah. And we had Becca Freeman on as well. So we talked a little bit about the experience of being a judge. And I asked her how she chose the book she was going to recommend. And she said, well, actually, they came to me with the book.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that process.
So the way that works is our judges are not, they're not involved in that like selection process so much.
Right.
And from time to time, like especially Liberty Hardy, who I'm sure
oh yeah,
your listeners know well. Yeah. So like she emailed me in March and was like, Siobhan, this book is coming out in September. It's called Gideon the Ninth. I've read it 3 times. It's the best thing ever. Just think about it.
Only Liberty would have read it 3 times months before it comes out.
I know. And I'm like, already? How do you have time? Because she reads everything. And I'm like, I didn't realize you read everything like more than once. It's crazy.
I think she reads 600 books a year. I think I heard that on another podcast.
I can imagine doing that 1 year, but doing that for years and I just...
I can't. I've got kids. I think anyone that has kids cannot read 600 books a year. It's just not possible.
She's amazing. But yeah, so like sometimes they will chime in and that's very helpful. But for the most part, we pick all the books and then we try and find a book that's right for someone, either a former Book of the Month judge or some kind of influencer, maybe a celebrity. And then we take it to them and we're like, hey, this book seems like something you would like. Have you read it already? If not, do you want to? Do you want to wreck it?
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so normal people seemed kind of like in Grace's ballpark.
I loved that as well.
Yeah, that's such a good one.
So that's really good to know because you've seen the spreadsheet that I do. And for the listeners, it's called My Ultimate Guide to Book of the Month Judges.
Mm-hmm.
And now knowing the process, I'm not sure how valuable that is anymore.
I actually, when I heard about it, Brianna and I went and downloaded it and we were trying to see like who our go-to judges were.
Sure.
I think mine was Taylor Jenkins Reid, I think, was my go-to.
She's my number one, too.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
I hope she comes back again.
Yeah, me too. She's been so busy with Daisy Jones.
Oh, I'm sure.
But she's the best. But yeah, I think it's still useful. When I used the spreadsheet and then I thought about our selections process and I was like, okay, maybe it's more like your horoscope. It doesn't exactly
right.
tell you like, who you are, but it's like a fun thing to think about and just kind of dwell in like what kind of reader are you? What kind of voice do you like to hear from?
Right.
So I still think it's useful.
I guess you're not going to have a judge endorse a book they don't like. So
right.
It does, in some sense, still match taste in that respect.
Totally. And we have all the time where someone will read a book and they're like, you know, I just didn't like it. Can you ask me next month?
Gotcha.
So I think you're right. Yeah.
And one final question on picking the books. Is there a specific mix that you look for every month of types of books?
Yes and no. So definitely earlier this year and last year, the thinking was kind of like all of the books in any given month should be pretty different from each other because members want variety and they tell us that all the time.
Sure.
If all the books seem the same to them, we hear about it. So
right.
Our thinking was kind of like, okay, we have a thriller bucket or a thriller spot every month. Let's fill it. And then, you know, we have like a place for like a historical fiction. And then maybe we have a place for a light read or a romance. That's kind of how we approached it.
Uh-huh.
Now, recently, we've kind of gotten away from that thinking. And the reason is, so in June, we did this book called Summer of 69 by Ellen Hildebrand, which was kind of like this lighter historical novel that takes place on the East Coast and has some family secrets in it. And we also did this book called The Golden Hour by Beatrice Williams.
I noticed those two. I was like, these are somewhat interchangeable.
Right. And it's also a historical on the East Coast. There's family secret, you know, like they were so similar. And I was worried about it initially. And then I was like, I don't care. Like they're both such popular authors, you know, so we made the call. So many members got books this month and so many of them got both of those. That was the kind of book they wanted to read. And so they were happy to read it twice, you know, so I kind of am moving away from me personally and thinking of like, okay, we want a book that feels really different from the other books this month. Let's get a sci-fi. Because maybe like sci-fi isn't what people want. You know, maybe they just want more of what they love.
Right.
It's kind of like a difficult
balance.
Balance, yeah.
I do feel like Book of the Month readers, and you obviously know so much more about this than I do, but based on the Facebook group and whatever,
mm-hmm.
that they're not heavy sci-fi readers, but would like sci-fi that has crossover appeal, like Blake Crouch.
Totally. You're so right. And for a long time, you know, it was like, okay, dark matter. And then, you know, The Martian was really popular in the world. Let's try sci-fi. And it didn't really work. You know, like we would do a sci-fi book and people weren't that into it. Not that many people would pick it.
And I'm one of those readers. I am not a sci-fi reader, but I did love Dark Matter and I did love Recursion as well.
Totally. Oh, Recursion was so good.
Oh, yeah. It pulled me right in. And it actually got me out of a slump. I had been in a slump when I picked that up. All right. So we're getting a little bit into the next category anyway. So that's perfect. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Book of the Month trends and patterns, which I personally love following.
Yeah.
Probably to an extent that is strange. So y'all went through some changes back in February of 18. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So the essays that the judges wrote about the books disappeared, but then they came back.
Immediately.
Immediately. There was uproar on social media.
Yep.
And I was distraught, so I'm like, how am I going to update my judges guide?
Oh, you would have had to totally pivot away.
Yep, it would have been old and not updated every month. But I also noticed that some of the judges that had been coming back month after month sort of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just tell me a little bit about what changes did happen and the thinking behind that?
Yeah. So we used to do the long form essays. And so, you know, a media person or a Book of the Month judge would write an essay about the book and just what it was like to read. And they were kind of longer. They were like 300 words, which to read five of those is, it's a lot.
People are probably skimming those.
Totally. And then they're getting a book they didn't know they were getting into.
Right.
We're seeing again and again that people are like, well, I didn't know this book was going to be like this. So that's the problem we were trying to solve when we did a revamp of the book product pages. And we spent like weeks just doing a lot of work on the product and the strategy and editorial. We created all these new kinds of content. We introduced like fun little icons. We were really excited about it.
I like your icons. I think those are really helpful.
Thank you. So we felt really good about all this. And then we announce the February books and the book product pages are totally different. And I wouldn't say there was like a mutiny, but there was a core group of Book of the Month members who were like, what is this? They felt like they weren't getting as much information about the books anymore because there was no essay. And even though there was all this other information, it was all like short form content. There was no in-depth someone telling you, here's what it's like to read this book. And so they were really vocal about it.
Sure.
Immediately, we, you know, as a team, we all gathered and we were like, okay, we got to fix this. Apparently, that was really important. Essays are back. It's a little different. We call it the Why I Love It. It's not a book review at all.
Right.
It's someone being like, I read this book. I love it. here is why. And so it's more structured and it's a little shorter, but we did end up adding those back in. And then we had like a stable of Book of the Month judges we worked with before. And they were mainly media people in New York.
Uh-huh.
And we liked working with them, but we were like, well, maybe there's other types of people we could reach out to. Like for a long time, we were having a member write a review every month. And then some of the judges, like Liberty, we still work sure. with all the time. But it just kind of changed. I began writing more of these.
Uh-huh.
Brianna wrote more, try and get a celebrity sometimes. So, and then we also started having more authors write them.
I was just going to say, I noticed more authors as judges.
Yeah. And I like that because it's kind of like, you know, when you buy a book in the store and it's got a little blurb like Taylor Jenkins Reid, I love this book so much. And you're like, oh,
I like her books. Maybe I'll like this one.
Exactly. And so we actually have the opportunity to get like a long blurb from them talking about why they like the book, which I think is pretty special. And I think our members really like it.
I like that too. So I also noticed, and this is not in relation to the changes that happened back then. This is just sort of something I've noticed in general. A lot of authors whose books are picked as selections also end up being a judge at some point.
Yeah.
Is that intentional or strategic in any way or just kind of happens that way?
Definitely intentional. If we're going to work with an author, we try and pick a Book of the Month author first because our members are automatically just more familiar with them. Remember Helen Huang, who wrote The Kiss Quotient? She blurbed, I want to say, The Proposal.
Right.
And she's kind of a romance author in the same vein, so it kind of gives you the sense that she knows what she's talking about. But also, for her, we were able to be like, Helen Huang, author of The Kiss Quotient, and people can click through to that book. So it's kind of also just a nice way to like tie up every, not loose end, but like help readers connect all the dots.
And find add-ons for their boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Angie Kim, I noticed recently.
Yeah.
I just have to tell you during this episode at some point, so I'll do it now. Miracle Creek is the exact type of book I want from Book of the Month. I was not on my radar at all. I had heard nothing about it until it came out as a pick. And then when I read a little bit about it, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds up my alley. I immediately downloaded The Galley, started reading it, got it as my pick, and then she blew up after that.
Yeah.
It's like the undiscovered gem that is going to take over the world. That is exactly the value that Book of the Month really brings to me.
What you describe is our ideal. Like we want to help someone find something they never would have found, or maybe they wouldn't have heard about, book that they're obsessed with. It's very different from Little Fires Everywhere, but it kind of reminded us of it because to me, that book reads like a thriller too. Like it's just very fast paced.
But it's so much more than that.
And it's so much more. So Miracle Creek was like the best.
The other thing members have been asking about lately is it seems like the uptick in repeat authors whose books are selected as picks. Is that a strategic decision as well?
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't guarantee a spot. If a book works for Book of the Month, we're not automatically going to pick the next one. I can think of at least one thriller writer last year. Her next book came out and we just passed on it because we had options that we thought made more sense. But it's so exciting for us, like Riley Sager, we did his first book, Final Girls. I want to take a little credit. Our members are the ones posting about him on Instagram, and that book just really took off. And there were other, obviously, he got like a Stephen King blurb, which is a huge deal. And so there was a lot that contributed to Final Girls becoming like the thriller of the summer, but I think we were part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that was a debut, which is super on brand for us. And so when the next book came out and it was really good, we were like, well, duh, we're doing it again. And then again, this summer, we got the third one and we were like, this is cool because we've never had a three-peat author.
Oh, three-peat. Yes. I forgot about the three-peat.
Yeah.
You can three-peat John Boyne for me if you want whenever his next one comes out.
I would be fine with that too.
Yeah. Taylor Jenkins Reid too.
Yep, I'll do any book by her. Like, they're all good.
So you do have some recurring judges still.
Yes.
How did you pick them?
It's two things. One, it's like our members just always loved Liberty.
Yeah.
You know, they knew her by name and she would interact with them on Twitter. And also they liked the way she wrote about books. And so that was like a no-brainer. And there were some people like that who people just really responded to the content they would write. Christina Ariel is another one. She wrote this amazing essay about Behind Her Eyes, which was a thriller we did in...
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, and it didn't tell you too much about the book. It was basically just like, WTF that ending. And everyone was like, what ending? And they had to buy it.
Wait, was she the one that came up with that hashtag?
Yeah, I think that was her.
Oh my lord. I wrote a spoiler discussion about that book, and I used that hashtag in my blog post title, and it was one of my top posts on my blog ever.
Oh, really? I think that was her. I feel like, because was the publisher, were they also using it? I can't remember.
I remember seeing it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she just like has a way about writing about books that makes you really want to read them. So there's a few judges like that who we just work with again and again.
Right.
And then the others, it's kind of about just getting authors in and
influencers. And
mm-hmm. Exactly.
So before we start your book recommendations, I want to do a very, very quick lightning round of some of your favorite book of the month things.
Awesome.
All right. Personal favorite book of the month pick ever.
I am going to say Severance by Ling Ma is my favorite.
Okay.
So we did that book in December last year, but it came out in like August, and I loved it when it came out, but it didn't feel right for book of the month. In December, sometimes we do this thing where it's like one we missed from that year.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it's during like best of season and people are seeing all the best books of the year. And if there's something we wish we had done, you know, Eleanor Oliphant was the one the year before. We'll just pick it up and we'll put it in the club, and it's great. So we did that for Severance, and it was one of those where I try not to do this too much, but sometimes even if a book doesn't feel like the best book for book of the month, we'll just put it in because I'm like, our team believes in it. We're just doing it, you know? And this was kind of like that. Members mostly liked it. I just think it's like so clever. I think it's kind of funny, but it's also super dark. And it's about this woman in post-apocalyptic America. There's been this pandemic and people are turning into zombies, but not like scary zombies, like sleepwalkers. It really like pulls apart consumer culture, which is really interesting. I thought the protagonist was so interesting. She's less of like a doer and she's more of an observer. So you're kind of just following and like looking at the new world through her eyes. And I just thought it was so well written.
It got a lot of awards too. All right. Most popular book of the month picks ever.
Okay. So I would say anything by Riley Sager, always we like every member will read it.
Okay.
I think Final Girls, we were just selling thousands of them. And then same with Silent Patient. I think that was technically our most popular book ever. I think that's the big thriller of 2019. It's been around forever. Everyone who reads it loves it. We got to do it a month early. So, you know, we helped build up all this buzz for it. So when it did come out, a lot of other people knew about it. And our members just, they went insane for it. Probably like half Book of the Month members have bought Silent Patient.
I do not normally like thrillers. I'm just kind of burned out from them, but I did really like The Silent Patient. The ending was somewhat brilliant. I was sort of middle of the road until the ending, and I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, it really delivers on, because that doesn't always happen with the thriller. Like half the thrillers you read, you're like, okay, I kind of saw that coming, great.
Or something so outlandish that it feels gimmicky.
Yeah.
I think you might be right about it being the thriller of the year because Goodreads, I don't know if you saw this article, they came out with their biggest books of the year so far list based on some sort of secret algorithm they're using, and Silent Patient was number one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ahead of Daisy Jones.
Wow. Which is interesting because Daisy Jones got all the Reese Book Club stuff and Silent Patient didn't have that.
Yeah. Okay. Last two. A book of the month pick that you thought was going to be a hit but was not.
We did the new Barbara Kingsolver last year. It's called Unsheltered.
Yep.
And everyone in the world has read the Poisonwood Bible. I feel like of authors you can call household names, you can kind of call her a name.
Yeah, she's like a living legend almost.
Yeah, I think of Barbara Kingsolver and I think of Oprah's Book Club back when it was powerful. We thought, oh, this book would be huge. And it's maybe not the best of her books, but I think it got some really harsh criticism when it came out. Like, I think a critic for the New York Times called it dead on arrival, which I thought was pretty harsh.
Oh, wow.
I liked the book a lot, but I thought people would really be interested in reading her next big book. Like, she hadn't written something in years.
Right.
And they kind of just weren't.
Do you think it's because it was really long?
I think because it was really long. I think maybe the topic wasn't as interesting to people. It was kind of a bummer.
So on the flip side, tell me a sleeper hit.
A sleeper hit would be definitely A Woman Is No Man by A Tough Room. Have you had her on your podcast? She's great.
I have not. Right when that came out, I read it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I want to have her on. But then she blew up so quickly. And at that point, I was nervous to ask people to come on.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to sit on it until the paperback comes out and then have her on.
That's wise.
If she'll come. Because now I've gotten less nervous to just ask people to come on.
Totally. So this book is very funny because we have this brand ambassador program of social media influencers, and we send them books every month and they take pictures and put them on their social media. And Atoff was our first brand ambassador ever. She's always been like an incredible advocate for Book of the Month. She loves what we do. And she's also all about helping people discover the best new books. So we make a good team. And for like 2 years, you know, I would hear from her or I would hear from her publisher and they'd be like, Atoff has a book coming out. And I was like, that's great. And I was kind of freaked out because I was like, if the book isn't good, it'd be so awkward. How would we navigate that?
Well, thank God it worked out.
I know. And so then it turned out to be an amazing book. And I was like, wow, this is the best possible outcome. And so we did it, but we didn't think it would be so popular. But members really took to it. And we've had to reorder it a billion times. And we see all their posts on Instagram. I did not think that would be as big as it is.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's an awful story.
Mm-hmm.
Eye-opening. And I know that a lot of it stems from her real experience. So I definitely wanted to talk to her about that.
Definitely.
But I mean, I know it's probably a hard book for some people to read.
Yeah. It's hopeful too, though, I think.
I think it does end, hopefully.
Yeah, which is nice because some parts are heavy.
All right. Let's get into your official book recommendations, even though we've had others sprinkled in already.
Okay, perfect.
Siobhan is going to share, as always, 2 old books she loves, 2 new books she loves, 1 book she does not love, and 1 new release she's excited about. But all of her recommendations are going to be Book of the Month picks, and her new release pick is going to be a sneak peek of an August Book of the Month selection. Let me repeat that. Her new release pick is going to be a sneak peek of an August Book of the Month selection, just in case everyone missed that.
Awesome.
And also, the book she does not like is not going to be a Book of the Month pick, because that would be weird and awkward.
Yeah, very uncomfortable.
So tell me about the first old book you love.
So the first old book I love is Severance, which...
we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Well, we can just move along.
We'll just keep going.
That's the only repeat from earlier, y'all, just so you know. All right, so what is the second old book you loved?
The second old book I love, and I just realized it's not that old. It came out in March. Is that old enough? That's still kind of front list, isn't it?
Well, it's front list, but I do think enough time has gone by where people can get it at the library with not a super long hold list. All right, we'll go with it.
Okay. It feels like years ago now.
This is what happens to book people, by the way, y'all. We feel like books are old so much faster than the regular population.
Oh my God, I know. So anyway, March 2019, eons ago, I loved this book called The Municipalists. It is this really quirky kind of dystopian read. It takes place in like a future America, but not too far in the future. And it follows this guy who works for like this governmental agency that helps cities become more efficient and better run. And there's this kind of like heist that happens, and he has to team up with the agency's supercomputer in human form, but that robot guy has a drinking problem and is super snarky, and they have to like go fight bad guys together. I realize that sounded super high concept and maybe didn't make a ton of sense. If you kind of like funny books that are weird, you have to get this. I thought it was so clever and it has a lot of heart in it. I just loved it.
Is this one of those sci-fi books that has crossover appeal that we talked about earlier?
So, no. I thought it was. But I should, most members who got this book didn't love it. They liked it, but this wasn't the new Dark Matter as I thought it would be.
Sure.
And I think because Dark Matter is more of a straightforward thing, and this one had a lot of weird dark humor in it, and people were like, what is this? But for my personal favorites, this is one of my personal.
Dark humor is tough. I love it, but I do feel like a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
So that was The Municipalist by Seth Fried. And he was a judge later, wasn't he?
Yeah, he recommended Recursion in June.
Oh, perfect. All right, so tell me about the first new book you love.
Okay, so the first new book I love is called Things You Save in a Fire by Catherine Center. It comes out this summer. And we did her book last year. It was called How to Walk Away. And she writes these really smart, really sweet romances that aren't too gummy. They're not sappy at all. And the women in them usually have to overcome some kind of personal challenge that gets as much page time as the romance does. I just love her books. And as like an aside, I was not a romance reader before I took this job. I didn't read romances ever. They're usually much lighter, really plot forward. They're usually about straight people, and I am not that. So I had like a million reasons where I was like, I don't read that. And then I started reading romances for Book of the Month, and I was like, okay, this is really nice. It's like watching a rom-com, you know, and you kind of just want something lighter that ends happily. I think the other kind of light read category that people gravitate towards is thriller. But for me, like, I enjoy reading like a romance. And so Catherine Senner's books are that, but they also have this depth to them that is really cool. And Things You Save in a Fire is about this female firefighter. She gets put in this house and like this town outside Boston, and she's with all these guys and they're mean and they don't think women can be firefighters. And she's also got some family drama. And she also has this dark secret in her past that makes it really hard for her to trust. Everything about the book worked, and like every angle was wrapped up. I could not recommend it enough. Even if you're not a romance reader, give it a shot because it's so good.
So I'm like you with romances, and I totally agree about Catherine Senner. I loved How to Walk Away, even though as I was reading, I'm like, I should not like this. This is cliche and this is cliche or whatever, but I love it and I can't stop turning the pages. And I'm excited about Things You Save in a Fire as well. I have not read it. I have The Galley. I'm going to read it soon.
It's so good.
By the time this episode actually airs, I probably will have already read it. Okay, so that was Things You Save in a Fire by Catherine Senner.
Cool. And the other new book I love was also released in March. So I know Municipalist, we called an old book, but I'm calling this one a new book. Sorry.
We can break the rules. It's fine.
Right. So that book is called Lot. It's short stories, but they are kind of connected, like the same characters pop up in the same one. So it's also a novel. Just some context. We missed They're There last year. We didn't do that book. It really blew up. And I was like, well, we should have done that. So we were looking for something similar. And I think if you really liked They're There and could handle like almost every chapter being narrated by a different person, and it's really dark, there's a lot of vulgarity in it, and there's some violence as well, I think if you're the kind of person who just loved that book, you'll love Lot too. It takes place in Houston, Texas. It's about this, primarily about this guy who's, he's young, he's black, he's Latino, he's also gay. So he's facing some challenges as he comes of age.
Sure.
And the book has a ton of heart, but it's really gritty too. And I think you come out of reading it feeling like you really just consumed something that is a story we don't hear that often and that matters. And I think it's a really good literary book.
So when I was looking at the books you were going to share today, just to refresh my memory, for the listeners out there, if you don't know, I write a monthly commentary post about all the Book of the Month picks each month. And what I've heard about them from recommendation sources I trust, if I've already read the book.
Yes.
Sometimes that happens. And stuff I can gather from other reviews that I found. And I remember thinking when I was researching Lot that, oh, I really want to read this. This sounds amazing. And actually, I know it's fiction, but it sounds like you read just the premise of it. It actually sounds like it could be nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot about it. But I'm going to put it back on my list now.
Yeah, please do. It's really good. I would love to know what you think of it. It's really dark.
I love dark.
You like that, though. That's your thing.
Yep. All right. So that was Lot by Brian Washington, March 2019. And let's talk about the book you did not love, which is not a Book of the Month pick, by the way.
Yes. Not a Book of the Month. That would be weird. And I like them all. So a book I didn't like is Purity by Jonathan Franzen.
Yep.
And I think a really telling anecdote for this book is, so I read this book, I had just started working in publishing, and I got a galley from my boss. She was like, you want this? And I was like, yes, because it's just so exciting that I would get a Jonathan Franzen book before it was released. And I read the whole thing, and I was like, huh, he's writing about millennials, but he clearly knows nothing about millennials. And so it read as really fake the whole time.
How old is he? Is he a millennial himself?
No, he's like 50-something.
Okay.
Okay, so someone on Slate wrote a really funny piece about a page in this book. And if you Google Jonathan Franzen, Hey Soul Sister Slate, it's the first thing that pops up. But it's this article about how...
And I'll link to that in the show notes, y'all.
Okay, perfect. So he vaguely alludes to a song at the end of the book called That Soul Sister Song. And the person who wrote this is very funny. And they did some digging and they're like, well, here are some other songs that have the word soul sister in them, but then like she eliminates those as not viable options. She basically concludes that Jonathan Franzen thinks Hey Soul Sister by Train is a song that millennials love. It just says everything you need to know about the book. He just is so out of touch, but he writes from this place of authority. It just annoyed me.
I have not read any Jonathan Franzen books. I don't know how. I think I just missed them when they came around. It was before my blogging days. I was a reader, but not to the extent that I am now.
Yeah.
And then once I got into this world, I keep just hearing terrible things about him.
Mm-hmm. I'm not his biggest fan.
I don't think a lot of people in the book world are.
Yeah. And I know he's immensely popular, and that's great. There are a lot of things you can easily take issue with Jonathan Franzen, because he'll kind of talk out of place and can say some really, like, things that do not read well
right
when they are transcribed on the internet. But yeah, he's easy to take issue with. I'm kind of like taking a cheap shot. I recognize that.
Yeah, I feel like I actually maybe shouldn't have even said anything because I haven't read any of his books. All right, so that was Purity by Jonathan Franzen, and that came out back in 2015. And tell us the August Book of the Month pick that you're going to share.
Okay, so the August Book of the Month pick is one I'm really excited about because we got it a month early. It comes out in September, but we're doing it in August. It's called Dominicana by Angie Cruz, and it is about a young woman. She grows up in the DR, and she's not taken, but she's given this opportunity to move to New York City with this guy she doesn't really like, and her family's like, he has money, just go. And she has to go, and then she's just so on her own. She's kind of coming of age in New York City in the 60s. And I say coming of age because she's so young in the book. But she's also married to this guy and she is learning to fight for her agency and stand up to him and, you know, make connections in her neighborhood and just really getting to find this resilience that she didn't necessarily know she had. At times it can be a little dark because her circumstances are tough.
Sure.
But there's also moments of humor in it. There's this part where she's mad at her husband, so she makes friends with these pigeons who live outside the apartment, and then she, like, kills one and feeds it to him just because she's pissed.
Oh my God, that's great.
She's kind of like a plucky heroine like that. When she gets mad, she'll do something. And I thought it was such a cool book, and I think it has so much going for it already. I met the author the other night, she was wonderful, and it kind of reminds me of that kind of elevated book club book, you know, like I really think anyone could read it and enjoy it, but it's just so jam-packed with interesting themes and depth that you could sit and talk about it for hours.
So I'd never heard of this book prior to you emailing it to me, and I looked it up on Goodreads and I immediately loved the premise. It screams a little bit A Woman Is No Man to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some elements of that just in the plot.
Totally agree.
And what you said about her sort of sneakily subverting with the pigeon
mm-hmm.
reminds me of, did you ever read Commonwealth by Ann Patchett?
I missed Commonwealth, but I've read other books by her, yes.
Okay, so the ex-wife in Commonwealth has these five children that are going to visit and her ex-husband and his new wife, and she puts them on the plane with no clothes, no haircuts have been had, like she done nothing for the kids. And she's like, you know what? Let him handle it.
I love that.
All right, so that was Dominicana by Angie Cruz, and I am going to, after we stop recording, head on over to Edelweiss and see if I can get my hands on it.
Too.
So we like to finish every episode with a lightning round game called Rate It.
Oh, I love games.
So I will give you five bookish things. They're all sort of Book of the Month Club related, loosely related in some cases, and you will rate each one 1 or 5 stars, like you would rate a book, but you cannot use 2, 3, or 4 stars. All right. Number one, the Book of the Month cottage industry. And what I mean by that are people like me that commentate on all the Book of the Month stuff or the Facebook groups and all the Instagram activity.
This is easy. I love that.
Awesome.
The Facebook group you mentioned, it's so fun.
All right. So 5 stars for the Book of the Month cottage industry.
Yes. Great community.
All right, number two. I think I know how you're going to answer this already because I think we've already talked about it. Book of the Month authors that also appear as judges.
Oh, five stars. That's my favorite. That's the best.
I like that too, especially when they're ones who I have already pinpointed that my reading taste aligns with theirs. Who, I have a suggestion for you, Mary Laura Philpott.
Oh, that's a good one.
I loved her book. She was a podcast guest a couple episodes ago, and I've been tracking my reading taste against hers, and we align very closely.
I love how you really dig into the data.
I went to business school and did a lot of spreadsheet stuff, so maybe that's why.
Okay. You would be very comfortable in this office.
Ooh.
We're very like spreadsheet friendly here.
Well, I used to live in New York City for 10 years. I really wish that Book of the Month had existed then.
Yeah.
Or I guess it did. It just hadn't gotten revamped at that point. Uh-huh. And that would have been the best job in the world for me.
Yeah. Timing.
Instead of working for a financial advisor, which is what I actually did. All right. Number three, indie bookstores that run their own subscription service that closely mirrors Book of the Month.
Oh, okay. I like that. That's a 5.
I do too.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
I think they can coexist.
Oh, totally. Here's the thing. I think we offer like a slightly different thing, you know? There's a lot of things we do that indie bookstores can't do. Like we can offer 5 books and we can let you skip and things like that.
Offer things early.
Yeah. But indie bookstores, for example, there's this bookstore in Brooklyn called Books Are Magic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, and they have a very specific sensibility. You know, they're especially focused on female authors. I think if you are really into their taste and their brand, it'd be fun to get a book from them every month.
And I think that is the big difference is the indie bookstore subscriptions have their very distinct personality stamp on the book selections.
Totally.
All right, so that's a 5. Number 4, when a potential judge ends up not liking the book they're supposed to endorse.
Oh, how do I answer this? You said I can't do 3 stars. I can't decide. Here's my thinking around it.
You can explain your answer afterwards.
Okay. I'm going to give it, I'll give it 1 star because it's a, this is terrible. I can't give it 1 star. I was going to say I would give it 1 star because it can be a hassle if like.
Logistically.
This rarely happens. It almost never happens. But I've had where someone will email me like the Monday, the day before the piece is due, and they're like, I didn't like the book. I'm not going to recommend it. And I'm like, are you kidding? You had like 20 days, and now, you know, I have to have a piece on the site tomorrow.
Right.
And then, like, I have to write it, which is fine, but that's not the experience. Members aren't logging on to, like, find out 5 books that Siobhan Jones has a take on. Like, they, you know, like, the point was
unless
to get,
you're
like,
their go-to judge.
Right, exactly, which they can download your spreadsheet and see. But, yeah. Like, you know, the point was to get the author. And so when that happens, that sucks. But I will say, I would rather an author not recommend a book they didn't truly like.
Absolutely.
Than be like, here's something I'm shilling. We're not about that either. So in the times when an author is like, I didn't like the book, I can't in good faith endorse it. I'm like, that's totally fine. Except if they do it just before the deadline.
Fair enough. Okay, number 5. When an upcoming Book of the Month pick ends up becoming really hyped before you announce that it's a pick.
Oh, I really wish I could do 3 stars. I do like that because people will find out, start hearing about the book, and then we like send them our email of our announce, and it's like, boom, the book is right there. And they're like, yay.
And sometimes they might get it early.
Exactly.
And they're excited.
Yeah. So that's really fun. I will say like, that's not what we do. We don't try and follow big names. And so when that happens, it takes a little bit of the wind out of the sails, but it's not really a bad problem to have.
Yeah.
Because it's like a guarantee that we're giving them something they were probably going to want. So
in my mind, I was thinking Miracle Creek versus Daisy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, you all put Miracle Creek on the map.
Yeah.
And Daisy Jones was hyped long before, but lived up to the hype. And I was so excited to see it as a pick.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knew that book was coming. But we're kind of like, well, she's, you know, Evelyn Hugo, her former book.
And I loved that one.
So good. And members loved it. It was a Book of the Year finalist. Everyone loves that book. And everyone in the office loves it. Our male head of customer service, he reads all of the books. And he's like, that book was so good.
It was amazing. And I didn't read it for so long because of the cover. And I was like, it's going to be too chicklety. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And it was so unexpected. And I actually read it right after The Heart's Invisible Furies, which to me, I'm not going to say exactly why it was a perfect pairing. But if you've read both books, you understand why it was a perfect pairing.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything. But it was like back-to-back 5-star book pairing.
Totally. So she was a member before we did that book. And she'll write reviews for us, and we are all obsessed with her. So, like, doing Daisy Jones, we wouldn't have done it if it wasn't good, but it was brilliant. And we were like, of course we'll do this book. She's Book of the Month. That's us.
Yeah.
But we try not to follow if there's something just really huge author, but it's like their 50th book and it's not good. We're never going to do that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, tell everyone where they can find you online before we go.
Cool. So obviously you can find me kind of, I guess you can find Book of the Month by following us on Instagram at Book of the Month. Right. Super easy.
And y'all, I'll link to the Book of the Month Facebook group as well. Awesome. That I'm in, because I love that one and the one that Siobhan has mentioned that she pops into as well.
Yes. I love commenting on that. And then I'm like, is this allowed? I don't know. I haven't been kicked out yet.
I think it's cool that you come in there. I think it's interesting.
Oh, thank you. Okay, great. I'll keep popping up. And then I'm on Instagram as well. My handle is Siobhan J, but there's three N's, and Siobhan is a really tough name to spell.
I'll spell it in the show notes for everybody as well.
Okay, thank you.
And just to remind y'all, I'll link to my ultimate guide to the Book of the Month judges. And I will also link to my latest commentary on the monthly Book of the Month picks as well. And remember, there will not be a new podcast next week since we're on the bi-weekly summer schedule. But in 2 weeks, Beck Dory Stein, the author of the memoir From the Corner of the Oval, will be joining us. And the paperback edition of her book will be coming out around the same time. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions, especially since we're just starting out. Find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. Happy reading!